You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc.
I'm ready to talk about this album.
One last thing I want to ask before we get to the music. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, you're good. Let's rock.
It's interesting that you say that about Kanye because, like, I think that, like, if you ignore all of the media that he has done around this project and just listen to the album, which we're going to get to, right? Mm-hmm. There are a lot, to me, I think part of people's skepticism for Kanye is that there are songs on here where, like, you would never know that he is still trying to figure it out. There are a lot of places where, like, I almost feel like he's not, this is going to sound terrible to say, but I'll just say it, and maybe we don't deserve this to know, but, like, he's not showing his work. Mm. It's like he's...
What do you mean?
Like, you know how when you were in school and you had to, like, answer a problem? And the math, like in math, yeah. If you just wrote the answer and you didn't, like, show how you got there?
Yep.
So, like, we talked about what appears to people to be a very sharp turn, right? I love it in September, Sunday service in January. You know, if you, you know, really had that, if you really, you know, fully gave your life to God at Coachella, and then now 6 months later, you got the album. So all of a sudden you've got songs where you're just, God is great, praising God, let's go. It's gospel. And people are like, wait, how did we get here?
Okay.
Now, maybe we don't deserve to know why. Maybe that's not for us to know. But I think that's part of the skepticism, if that makes sense. But, like, the media, when he's doing these interviews, he seems very, maybe it's people who are asking the right questions or whatever, but, like, he seemingly has no problem talking about that a bit more. Mm-hmm. But I didn't hear a lot of that on this album.
Yeah. I think. There's a lot of, not spoiler alert, sure. But there's a lot of Christianese on this album.
Okay.
Where he's saying, there's certain things that he's saying that are actually my favorite performances where he's not saying Christianese as far as, like, raps.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is, especially when we get into one song in particular, because when you hear the original version, it's so jarring, like, oh my God. And I'm going to make a point with that. But, like, he's saying the right things. And I think if you're new to something, especially a lifestyle change, I think that's just what you do. Like, they tell you what to say. Like, okay, you need to feel very strongly about these things and rap about these things. And I'm not saying that Kanye is being, like, led and, you know, like, people are pulling him in a certain direction. But what I am saying is like, he doesn't quite know. He doesn't quite have his footing in yeah. this life. And that's very polarizing by, I think this is just a good transition. The first song on the album, when you hear the original version and you hear the new version, like, when you hear the original version, oh, he has his footing all in that culture because, as he said, Kanye was the culture. So he's very confident. He's very loose. He's doing a lot versus on the official version, like, he's still kind of, like, he's direct, but I still hear timidity, but I hear timidity because it's new, not because he's worried about saying the right thing, but more so, like, just making sure that the language is clear. And that's kind of what you do as a new believer. You're very, God, listen, Taylor and I talk about this all the time. Like, yo, listen to old, like, Taylor Gray raps. Listen to old Armand raps when I first got, oh my God, they were super direct and terrible. Right. Jesus is the rock. Don't see me in a box. Like, it was just really bad. Like, it was bad.
Right.
So, yeah.
All right. Are you ready to talk about this album?
Bro, we could be here for another 2 hours. So, yes. Yes. Let's do it.
All right. Track one. We're going to be here for a while. Yeah. Every Hour, featuring the Sunday Service Choir, mm-hmm. produced by Kanye, Budgie, and...
Shout the Budgie.
Yeah.
Shout the Budgie. Doing them Alchemist flips.
Yeah.
And got a nice look.
And somebody named Federico Vinver, who has little credits all over this album, actually.
That's your you worked on Jesus is King and didn't tell me, and that's your producer nickname. So you can get checks on the low. You're not low, Doc. It's
Federico.
Cool.
So I think Every Hour, like, it immediately sets the tone for this album.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, it, you know what this album reminds me of? Mm. It really is an interesting contrast to Yeezus. How it's structured. Short, the first song is really, on both projects, really, really, really meant, it's like a palate cleanser. Like, it is sort of trying to jar you into, this is where we're going with this album. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, On Sight is the opening to Yeezus. And there are a lot of people who, that is like the song they like the least on Yeezus. Right? And I'm
not, On Sight is hard.
It is hard. But it was so, in 2013, I remember playing that for the first time. And I was just like, huh.
Yeah.
Like, it was jarring. And every hour is a different kind of jar. Like, if you weren't really paying that much attention to the listening parties and all this other stuff, and you were like, oh, I've heard Kanye's, you know, I've heard he's, making gospel now or whatever, and you turn on Jesus is King, and he's like, guess what? It's a gospel song.
Yeah.
It's a choir. You've got all this stuff going on. I totally understand why this is here, but like, I do not listen to it after the first time I heard this album. When I replay it. I don't need it, but that's because I don't listen to gospel music.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Every Hour?
I like it. I feel like, am I tripping or do they loop it?
It's long.
It sounds like a loop, like the last 20 seconds are like a loop.
Out of all the songs in this album, I actually feel like this could have been half the length.
Yeah.
And still gotten the message across.
Yeah.
Like, if he was trying to keep to 27 minutes, like, you know what? Add a little extra length to that closer, actually, like you did in the IMAX movie, which we haven't even talked about yet.
We'll get there.
But yeah, do you like Every Hour?
It's cool. Yeah. It's cool. I don't skip it. I think I agree with you, though. It's a smidge too long. It's a hair too long.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get the track, too, because now we're really starting.
Yes.
Is this Selah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Selah, yes.
Produced by, let me tell you, there's a lot of credits on this album.
Of course, it's a Kanye album.
It's produced by Kanye, Evan from Ratatat, co-produced by the Federico guy and Boogs, who is signed to Good Music and has credits all over this. Additional production by my man Francis and Benny Blanco.
Okay.
Additional vocals on this by Sunday Service Choir and Aunt Clemens.
Okay.
I think this song is so uniquely Kanye.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Just ridiculously Kanye West.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really, really sets the tone for this album. The original version of this, which I think had a different beat, maybe?
Different elements, yeah.
Well, there's the version, like, there is a version with different lyrics.
Yes.
But then there, that's the version I sent you.
Okay.
But in October, he teased a snippet of Ronnie J produced version of this during a live stream.
Oh, okay. I don't think I heard that.
I don't think I heard that one either. Ronnie J has credits elsewhere on this album. Very clear that Ronnie J was going to be pretty involved in whatever Yandy was going to be. We'll talk about that later, obviously.
Okay.
Man, when the hallelujahs hit in the middle of the track.
Yep.
With that synth bass note.
Yep.
That's just bonkers. Like.
Yep.
This is so musically miles ahead of where he was at on Ye.
Yes.
Going back and listen, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back and listen to Ye. Maybe I was harsh on that. No. Like, I'm going to have some things to say about this album. But, like, Ye is so very clearly, like, the sore thumb of his discography. 2018, man. It's weird because, like, the beats on Ye are nothing like the beats he did for Pusha and Nas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was purposeful what he was trying to do there. It just didn't work, largely. Mm. There's elements and stuff that's better than others. But, like, I listened to this and I was like, this is Kanye West.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of Kanye West, but it's Kanye.
Yeah. Agreed.
To me, this is like one of the stronger ways in this album that I think Kanye fuses the old Kanye with this new Kanye.
Mm.
You agree with that?
Yeah.
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 I mean, I've been talking all the time. What do you think about this song?
It's just very, I think it's just in so many, and to surmise it, it's dramatic.
Oh, it's dramatic, but in a way that works to me.
100%. It's super fire. Super fire.
Yeah.
It's one of the records. I'll say this though. When you sent me the original version with the different lyrics,
Yeah.
It felt different. Like, it just had a, it was very aggressive and angry, but like, he was skating. Like, on the original version?
Yeah.
I mean, adding in like the yay chants and like, oh, like I was just like, yo, like this is, I love the new version. I love the new version. But man, the old version is so jarring. It's so, we're just going to use that word a lot. I think because you used that word on Twitter the other day and I was like, that's perfect. It's so different. And to see how he turned that into this, but still kept like the fire, I guess I should say in so many words, like, it's still a great record. And I love the fact that it goes from, it's like two totally different choirs. Every hour has a very Sunday service,
yeah,
offering time, you know, black church sort of feel. And this is like
apocalyptic.
Yeah, there we go. Yep. Yep. With all that said, I love the record. Super dope record.
Yeah. Track three is Follow God, produced by Kanye, Boogs, and Excellence, whoever Excellence is. Okay. Man, what a sample. What a sample. So this is not a gospel record.
I didn't think so.
This is
Kanye
sampling a gospel record.
Oh, what are you saying? You're saying, wait, you're saying that this, the Kanye song is not a gospel
song. This is like, there are other songs on here where Kanye's making what I would consider like gospel records. You know what I mean?
It's more, okay, we'll say this. There's a lot of evangelizing on this album.
Yes.
And Follow God is not evangelistic.
No, it's more personal.
Yes. Which is testimonial, really.
Oh man, I can't believe I'm asking this question. Is Kanye CHH now?
I'm gonna tell you this.
Let me tell you why I'm mad, son.
They trying to claim him. They're trying to. Can I get my bars off now? Let me get my bars off now. Yo, listen. There was nobody more annoying and detestable on Friday afternoon and Friday night and throughout the weekend than other Christian rappers that were salty. That were like. Listen, I don't want to hear that, this was just a 116 album. No, it wasn't. You know why it wasn't a 116 album? Because 116 would take what dope people were doing and like siphoning the sauce, for lack of a better term. There's not an original.
Siphoning the sauce.
There's not an original, like, listen.
Sauce sifters. Get out.
I give respect to Andy. I give respect to Andy, but like a lot of them dudes, like, nah. Not at all. Like, y'all the ones who, I'ma chill. I feel like I need to chill. I'ma chill. But they were very much like, yo, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear wait and see. I don't want to hear we've been doing, like, yo, I don't care. I don't care if you've been doing it. And that's a very haughty and prideful statement to say, oh, we've been doing this. So? What you want, credit? You supposed to be doing this for God, homie. Like, what you want, credit? You want your name in the rafters? Get out of my face, man. Get out of my face. Like, I was annoyed by people who were attacking Kanye West's character. Like, I'm not feeling like, you know, talking about the album, but masking the album to really talk about how you feel about Kanye. Like, I'm not feeling that, but like, that's one thing. But like, there was just so much salt. Like, what are you doing this for? This is the thing I love about all this stuff, because it's revealing like heart and intention behind so many people in and outside the church. I love it. Expose us for who we really are. Expose us. That's why I always said, like, yo, I didn't hate Trump the way everybody else did, because I know exactly what I'm getting. I know exactly what I'm getting versus somebody else who would have gotten office and would have told me they were doing one thing and then decided to do something totally different. Like, I want to know what I'm getting myself into. I've been in relationships where I dated a girl and she was one way. And then once she got a little comfortable, like, things changed. I'm like, wait a minute, who are you? You were not who I dated. Like, give me that. I love it. Expose who you really are. Expose your intentions. Repent and readjust. That's it. That's my retort to anybody who had something smart to say about Jesus is King, like as an album. Get out of my face. And don't rap over that beat either. Unless you're Swoop. I'm cool with Swoop. Other than that, anybody else? Leave it alone. It's corny. It's thirsty. And y'all look mad parched right now. I'm done, Doc. What's the next song?
We're talking about Follow God still.
Okay.
I think Kanye wrote this.
Oh, I think he freestyled it.
I mean, let me see. Like, I would much rather hear this Kanye writing than some of what we get elsewhere on this album.
Okay.
I think this is really dope. Like, this song is ridiculous.
It's fire. I don't know, man. I'll say this. My only negative thing about this song, because I love this song too, is fire. Live version is amazing too. I wish they would have finished it.
I have two complaints with it. It's too short for as good as it is.
It's too short.
But also, and I've heard people kind of complain a bit. There's been, the online music nerds have complained about the mixing on this project, because they always do now.
I've heard. Yeah. I meant to send you that. There's a thread on Reddit where somebody went through and listed all the things that were wrong with the mix.
I meant to send it to you. Great.
I knew you were like, yes, I heard it.
All imagining most of this. People know just a little bit, and they know enough to be dangerous. Right?
Like, okay, Doc.
There are some purposeful choices here. I don't agree with them, but they know what they're doing for the most part. I will say, they actually did an update today.
Okay.
They slightly updated the mix on God.
Okay. What do you hear that's different?
They made a change to like the vocals in some way in one spot, but they didn't change anything else.
God, your ears. Your ear is nuts.
Well, no, I mean, somebody said this online and I listened to it. I was like, yeah, I hear that. Yeah, no, I'm not like pulling it out like, oh, they must have. No. Like, here's the thing I'll say. I think people want Follow God to like bang. Mm-hmm. They want that bass to come in, and they want it like, if I'm hearing the song correctly, like, I think they're like using a filtered bass line from the sample.
Probably.
And yeah. I think people want, like, they just want it to like hit harder. But like, there are two songs on here that I think purposefully don't hit hard. Follow God is one of them, and On God is the other one. On God is mixed to be very like high up in the mix. Mm-hmm. And I think people aren't used. They don't. That's not. I think there's a lot of people who are like, where's my bass? Mm. This is not a bass heavy album. Mm-hmm. So, do I wish Follow God hit a little harder? Yeah. Do I think it's a great song? Yeah. I think Follow God is ridiculous.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
Word.
You want to talk about Closed on Sunday?
Yeah. I got a few things to say about Closed on Sunday. I want to say that friend of the show, Kenny, ruined the song for me.
How so?
Because when he talked about the Detroit, his experience in Detroit, I was just expecting the worst. And I was like, yo, I know this dude did not make a song about Chick-fil-A. I know he didn't. This dude made a song about Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Kind of. This is like two songs in one.
Yes.
The first, so there's a long list of producers here. Kanye, Brian Alday Miller, back in the mix.
Wow.
That guy, Federico again, Timbo, has production credits on here, as well as Angel Lopez, who's one of Timbo's producers.
Okay.
The guitar on this is, it's so funny. So we'll talk about the stems when we talk about Yandi, but like having seen the stems, when I look at the credits for some of this stuff, I can look at some of these and go, I think I know who did what now, the way that they're laid out. So like the guitar is a sample, almost certainly Brian Miller, came up with that sample. And then what they're often doing is they're replaying on top of the sample to give it more like texture. So like, that's what that guitar sample is. I think the first half of the song is kind of corny.
Yes.
Like, it's just the best way to put it.
It's like approaching like Drunken Hot Girls bad. I know how you feel about that song, Doc. I don't care.
No, it's that song's pretty bad. I mean, I at the time I was like,
Sure, you were. Yeah,
it was a different time.
It was a different time.
I do think that like this song, and we'll talk about the second half in a second. I think in general, this song is really instructive to Kanye's worldview right now, what he is struggling with,
mm-hmm.
and why I worry about him.
Mm. Okay.
He is a man who is fighting temptation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I worry that he thinks that his relationship with God is going to save that, is going to save him from that.
It's going to have to.
Well,
like between that and taking steps to create practical parameters.
If by practical parameters, do you mean how he is talking about putting the Instagram away? He's clearly mm-hmm. uncomfortable with how sexy, as he would put it, his wife dresses, which of course, like, is ridiculously kind of ironic considering who Kanye used to be.
Right.
And when you think about part of the reason for why he pursued Kim Kardashian in the first place.
Right. Absolutely. You know, two things with that. One, he owns his hypocrisy on that. I've heard him say, okay, like, hey, I created, or I helped to create this. I helped shape this. I encouraged her to be this. And I appreciated Kim's retort to say, hey, this is your journey, not mine. One thing that was interesting, though, was like, what I like doing is I like going to like other people's Instagrams that are like maybe surrounded by a project. Like, I like hearing, you know, sure, like Pusha T, but like, what is Steven Victor doing?
Yeah.
What is, you know, like, I just want to know that. That's how you get, you know, clips verses that you weren't supposed to hear. We didn't even talk about that. I went to Kim Kardashian's Instagram and I noticed that she was dressed fairly modest.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, very interesting. Like, I mean, nothing more than that, but interesting. Okay.
I do wonder if she, how on board she is with all this. Like, you sure. gotta, I mean, it's,
sure.
I mean, you know, when they say till death do you part,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you're married, you got to roll with the punches. You got to support your spouse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is this what she signed up for?
Man, you know, everybody says this about their relationship with God. Like, and I think it applies in marriage too. It's like, yo, if I knew what I'd have signed up for, like maybe I would have asked a few more questions. I don't know anybody who gave their life to God in that moment and then figured that they would go through the stuff that they ended up going through. I think marriage is the same way. You know, like, I'm sure there are things that come up in every marriage where you're like, wait, what? Oof, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that's till death do us. That's what that encompasses. So it's like, how, yeah, like, so if you don't roll, where's the compromise? What does that look like? You know what I'm saying? Can you, I know people who are of different faiths who are married. One's a Christian, one's a Muslim.
Yeah.
One's a Christian, one is not a believer at all. Like, I've seen it happen. I've seen it work. I've seen it fail. But yeah, to your point, I agree. Like, yo, what's that going to look like? Very curious.
Can we talk about the second half of the song?
Second half of the song is fire.
It's amazing. Hey, it is.
Second half of the song is fire.
It is so visceral.
Look at you.
It is like, when that, I don't know what you call it, like synth noise or whatever comes in, and then he is just like...
Sounds like an alarm or something.
Yeah, he's getting real.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's one of the few times in this album where you really get a glimpse into what he's struggling with, which is like, I don't think it... maybe I'm drawing connections where I don't need to, but like, look at what he's rapping about on I Love It. Look at what he's rapping about now. Mm-hmm. Look about the changes that he's made. It's very clear that like, he is struggling with the temptation to not be faithful to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they've ever outright said that. But like, I mean, when the way he says Jezebel don't even stand a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to really get into the fact that like, what I hope Kanye's not doing between that and like clearly wanting his wife to dress modestly. I have to say part of my brain goes to the, are we blaming women for you? Or Kanye, are you blaming women for this now? Because I hope he's not.
No, when someone talks about Jezebel, when they talk about the spirit of Jezebel, it's not necessarily ascribing itself to a woman. It's certain characteristics that maybe come with, that would maybe aid in his making him succumb to temptation a lot more easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think some people will do that though. There was a Swoop album where Swoop, what was the name of that album? Cinema. And he created a fictional character named like Maya Desiree or something like that. And it was basically My Desire. So it talked about, he took a real story of him, you know, having a relationship with the woman who was not his wife and like toying with the idea of what that could have been. And somebody took that and said, women are not the reason for your, and it's like, well, no, this was just an actual representation of his own shortcomings and what that. So I just got to like make that clear. Like, no, I don't think he's blaming women for that. And when people talk about Jezebel, they're not talking about women or a woman specifically doing that, because men can operate in the spirit of Jezebel too.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that there is a history behind that though, right? Of basically blaming women for tempting men.
Sure. Especially if she wouldn't dress that way.
Right. Then, I mean, I was going to say, especially when combined with wanting women to dress quote unquote modestly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I got to say, I wonder a bit, but it's also none of my business, like what him and his wife are doing. But like, I mean, the emotion from Kanye on that second part of Closed on Sunday is just like, that's amazing to me.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
I hate I have to get through the first part to get to it, but yeah, I agree. Do we need to double back and talk about the Clips record or maybe we should wait?
So Stephen Victor, their manager, on his Instagram story, I think, played Clips versus over Follow God, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what I was trying to figure out is that like an unreleased version? Mm-hmm. Is that like a remix? Is that like just them getting in the studio, getting busy in the beat? Like, it's not clear to me.
Correct. I'm sure it's an early version. I'm going to make a guess and say it's an early version of Follow God, where they were just trying to figure out what they wanted to do with that record. My hope is that they turn it into a freestyle and put it out. Hmm. They both were getting silly. I need that. That joint was, posting that, I got a lot of, what is that? Where is that from? Like, streets need that ASAP. Now, Stephen Victor, I know you listen to the show. So if you want to send it to us, so maybe we can share with our Patreon supporters. I know that you know how much we love the show and you love the show as well. And we appreciate that. So if you want to throw us that solid, you can send an email to info@clockradiospeakers.com or send us a DM on Twitter, on Instagram, you know, send us the link. We'll get out that exclusive for you. We got the information about Nipsey. So, you know, we can be trusted.
So let's talk about On God, produced by Kanye, Boogs, this guy named Came One, Pierre Bourne. This is the other record with like really interesting mixing choices. Like, this song revolves so much around those synths, which I really like, that I think people just kept waiting for that big bass drop to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a bass note that comes in, but it's not like a big sub bass note that like rattles your subwoofer. Like, this song just does not have that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people, when they complain about like the mixing of the sound of the album, they look at this and they go, why doesn't this sound a certain way? I think that's an intentional choice, because like there's a lot of professionals involved here and they know how to make a bass line.
Right.
They did that on purpose. Now, if you don't like that, that's totally valid. But like, people are treating this like, oh, well, it came together at the last minute. They didn't know how to... No, they knew what they were doing with this.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think about that. I guess I didn't think about it because this is the first song that I just clearly do not like.
Oh, so you don't like this song?
Nah.
I'm mixed on this song. I really like the synths. I think the synths are fantastic.
Okay.
From what I hear, though, it's actually from like a sample pack, believe it or not.
Okay.
Hey, whatever works.
Yeah, hopefully that was a Soul Surplus pack or something.
I really love that they brought back the okay, 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 okay from Mercy. It's the same okay at the end of this.
Yeah, there's some really intriguing callbacks to earlier Kanye music that I appreciate. Little Easter eggs.
Yeah. This appears to be, well, I'm sure Kanye wrote a little bit on this or whatever, but looks like Sci-Hi had a hand in this.
Oh, okay.
And suddenly you're like, well, now I get it.
Now I get, because ironically, the thing I hate the most about this song are the lyrics.
Yeah.
They're cheesy to me.
Yeah. And then, you know, at the end of this, he tries to sort of explain why he charges the prices that he charges. And yeah, I don't know. He sort of loses me there. But I don't know. This is an interesting song.
Okay.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it.
Okay.
It's kind of weird. It is weird to me where, like, it, because, it, you know, with Pierre Bourne, you're used to, like, you know, should be like a trap banger, right? Mm-hmm. But they like mix this and make it sound in a way where it's like in that right tempo, but it just doesn't really like, it doesn't hit.
Yeah, because it seemed like that happened with some other records. When you hear Yandhi versions of one record, the drums are totally different than you hear them. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
You want to talk about Everything We Need? Oh my God. Produced by, featuring Ty Dolla and Aunt Clemens, produced by Kanye, Ronnie J, and somebody named FNZ, and additional production by Mike Dean, Boogs, all the normal people who help out.
Okay. This is top three on the album for me.
Mm.
I love this song.
This is my favorite Ty Dolla guest appearance in a long time.
Boy. Oh, my God. Whoever, shout out to Mike Dean, or whoever, if somebody else mixed. So I feel like they had some, was it somebody else who mixed? Was it On God? Somebody
Mike
besides
Dean
Mike
did
Dean
mix everything, but he mixed this and he helped out on production too.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So then Mike Dean mixed this. Like Mike Dean killed Ty's vocals. Ty sounds great on this record.
Yeah. The melodies on this are lovely. Lovely.
Oh man. Yes. Lovely. I love this song, man. I love it. I love it.
We're going to talk about the original version of the song when we talk about Yandhi.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'm so glad that this ended up the way that it did.
Oh my God. Get Triple X out of here.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. Yeah, like this is just so well produced and well mixed.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And you know, the opening half to this album is so aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like the, not that dissimilar in a sense from Yeezus.
Mm-hmm.
Where like it's a very different kind of song, but this is like the Hold My Liquor part.
Mm-hmm.
Where all of a sudden we're gonna switch it up on you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We just did Black Skinhead and New Slaves and everything. Nope. Change it up. Same idea. Just applied very differently.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this is really well done.
Yeah, man. I love it.
I feel like this is a song that I think to me is helped by the fact that it's short. I wouldn't want this to be like 5 minutes long.
Yeah, no, because this and the song after. Yeah, I'll get there. I'll save that point later. Okay, I'm rolling. I don't say, man, I wish this song was longer. I just run it back. I just run it back. Yeah, this song is amazing. I don't have anything to say besides this song is amazing. I love it. Top three. Follow God and Everything We Need.
Top three. You want to talk about Water?
The other record on my top three.
Featuring Aunt Clemens, produced by Kanye and Boogs, co-production from Timbo's people. I like this song a lot more than I thought I would based off that Sunday service performance at Coachella.
Yes.
If I'm being honest.
Yes.
I don't know what was going on in that performance. If it was just not everybody was mic'd up right. But like, this is, it's... I want to talk about Kanye's verse, but Aunt Clemens sounds fantastic on this.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing that like the first time we heard Kanye and Aunt together was on All Mine when everybody thought he was Jeremiah. Which is like such a 180 from this song. In tone, in lyrics, and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, this song is
it's beautiful.
This song is beautiful. Yeah.
So Kanye's verse, I've heard, and I saw this online, a couple different people talk about it as though it were like almost childlike.
Yes, I said that.
Oh, you did say that. I think I saw some other people say that too.
Okay, yeah, it's childlike.
I think some people say that and they mean it in a good way, and I think some people say that in like a he's not really rapping about anything kind of way.
Okay, sure.
Right. They're like, that's pretty simplistic.
Sure. shout out to Taylor who communicated this. He did an Instagram video that talked about, he gave his review on it. And he hit the nail on the head. There's such a beauty in simplicity where, God, we are the super, I mean, we're putting out a record tomorrow and it's just super rapidy rap, metaphor, similes. And, you know, I think that's kind of like my fear for Kanye. Not my fear. I don't think Kanye do it because Kanye knows how to write music really well, or he knows how to get people in the room that know how to write music really well. But it's like, it's a testament to a childlike faith that the Bible calls us to have, where it's just like, you know, when you were a kid and your mom would say, let's go. And you were like, well, where are we going? But because that was your mom, you know, if she didn't tell you where you were going, you was rolling. You trusted it because it was your mom. That's what I hear with this. Like, it's just so sincere. And so I just believe him when he's at this. It's like a prayer. Like, Jesus, please use us. Jesus, like, it just, like, I teared up listening to it after, like, there was a Saturday where I was just running around listening to it. I played this song the entire day Saturday, from the time I woke up to the time I went to bed. All I listened to was Water. And a couple times I teared up because it was just so beautiful. And it was a throwback to where I remember being there and embracing this new life and like just wanting everybody to know about it and being really, really zealous and just like experiencing something new and wanting the people that I love to experience the same thing that I did and knowing and believing that they could do that. And just like how time and life and disappointments and all of those things will like choke that zeal out of you. And I just like, it's like, man, I wish I could get that back. It was just, it's just so innocent, man. Innocent. I love it. This, not only is this top three, this is my favorite song on the album. Yeah. This is it for me. I was really mad that they didn't perform this. If they don't perform this at Sunday service, I'm going to jump down into Sunday service from my chair and I'm going to try and fight. I'm going to go to jail because I'm going to try and get the Kanye and fail. Because I need to hear the choir. Because you're right. The Coachella version, the version that leaked, it's not that good. It's too long. They're trying to figure it out. The lyrics aren't all the way there. But like, there's something about tightening it something up, man. And we talked about that with Yandy. Like, yo, when he pushed it back. And we talked about that with Ye. If he just would have pushed it back, he would have taken some more time and finished those records out instead of like being a slave to like these release dates. Like, who knows what we would have got if Ye would have came out in September instead of June, or if he would have took all those songs and from June to the end of the year focused on them and like just created something different and put out one album. If Ye and Yandy was all one album, whatever. But like, this is what happens when you have a song and you tinker with it and you mess with it. And this is why I don't get mad when Kanye pushes stuff back and stuff is supposed to come out at midnight, but it comes out at noon instead, or it's supposed to come out one day and they push it back. I don't care, because if as long as he's aiming to do this, I'm good. I love this record.
Let's talk about my least favorite song on the album.
Which is?
God Is. Which, yo, this is the song. So I was wrong. I thought On God was the one that had a little re-recording. God Is was updated today. So Kanye re-recorded parts of his verse, which is interesting because this is, let's just say, he has a very strained vocal performance on this song, right? It almost sounds like he's choking up.
Mm-hmm.
But he altered the melody on a couple lines and he changed the line, this ain't about a damn religion, to this ain't about a dead religion.
Okay.
Interesting that of all the songs they tried to tweak this one. This is produced by Kanye, Warren Campbell, and somebody named Labyrinth. Like, this just ain't it for me at all. Like, I think it's such a total fake out at the beginning. Cause like, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, we're getting a sample chop.
Yeah.
And then instead, it's a a ballad about God.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. I mean, when the beat switch happens, it gets a little more interesting.
Yeah.
But no, no, I'm good. I'm personally good.
I'm going to agree with you.
Ooh.
This is not my record. And yeah, I agree. This and On God are the two records that I do not need on this album. I agree with you. When I heard that sample, I was like, all right, Just Blaze, what are we doing?
Just placing the Blazettes in the building.
Yeah, like that just, I listened to way too many Dipset records in my time. That was just like the perfect alley-oop for some crazy flip. And I felt like because of where the song was going, or where the album was going in terms of sequencing, I felt like Kanye was going to like jolt somewhere. You know, it's putting No More Parties in L.A. and 30 Hours towards the end of the album. Like, it's two quick cuts when you're clearly like on your downtrend. But everybody I know who likes this song has a relationship with older 70s, 80s gospel.
Hmm.
So like my girl loves this record. Like, this is her water, but this ain't it for me. I'm good.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, how do you feel about auto-tune Fred Hammond?
I heard somebody say they hated it. I don't hate it. This is the sleeper song on the album. This is number four for me. Hands On is ridiculous.
It's an interesting song.
Yes. Yes.
Produced by Timbo, Kanye, Timbo's people. I caught some of this, but I see I'm looking at Genius right now. People on Genius are calling us now too. Did you catch the parallels between Kanye's first verse and what Drake raps on Sicko Mode?
No. What? Hold on. Wait a minute.
He talks about cutting out the lights. He talks about making a left when he should have made a right. He talks about told the devil when I see him on sight. There's a lot of lines that are echoes.
Wow.
And he clearly still feels some kind of way about that situation. Like,
absolutely.
On the Zane Lowe interview, he was talking about, mm-hmm. He went up to his house. I was like, okay.
Yeah, went to his house. I think I feel like Kanye has always felt threatened by Drake's success. And I think it was one of those like, beating Drake or being better than Drake or getting Drake's approval like motivated him.
Hmm.
And I think that like, I can tell now that that bothers him. I can tell that he doesn't like the fact that like, I think they have this weird bromance. And I really feel like Kanye wants to be his friend. Like, why won't you be my friend? Like, that's really what, that's right. Really what I feel like Kanye wants to say. Why won't you be my friend?
Right.
So, it's Sicko Mode, really?
I think Sicko Mode really, like, that's like a, I bet you if you're like talking with Kanye and you start talking about Sicko Mode, I bet you he just goes crazy.
I would love to know what he thinks about Sicko Mode.
I think he just can't stand it.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you.
You know, like, he has multiple connections with Travis, obviously. You know, mm-hmm. like, and mm-hmm. then every aspect of that song, I'm sure he just can't stand it.
Mm-hmm.
Hit Boy's got a production credit on it. They're rapping about Nikes. Like, they're so...
yeah.
It is in so many ways the anti-Kanye song.
Yeah.
Right. A producer who he used to work closely with, who is certainly not in the good graces with good music anymore. Two rappers who he has worked with or inspired before, who are very clearly doing their own thing now. The shoe company that he wanted to do stuff with and did do some stuff with, but they wouldn't give him what he wanted, so he went elsewhere. Like, that is such a repudiation of Kanye in so many ways. Mm. All you need now is Virgil to DJ that at an event and he might really go off.
Oh, Virgil.
So, Hands On.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Nah, man.
You really like this one, huh?
Hard. Yeah, Hands On is hard. It's so hard. It's such a... Man, it's... I think having Fred makes a huge statement because of the type of artist that Fred is.
He gave Kanye the cosign.
Well, not even that. Fred's music, the reason why I say Fred is the GOAT for me in terms of gospel music, because Fred was like David for me. So if you're unfamiliar with the Bible, like King David was like a shepherd boy who worshiped in the middle of nowhere. Like if you read the Psalms, one minute he's telling God how amazing he is. The next, literally, you turn the page and it's like, yo, like, God, you tripping. What are you doing? These people are trying to kill me. You ain't here. You ain't helping me. Then you turn the page again. It's like, God, I love you so much. Like Fred has always had such an authenticity to his music where you knew that the music that he made just came from a real place, like a real place of tension, where he was aware of where he was, but he was also aware of who God is. And I think that's what hands-on is. Hands-on is like, yo, like, listen, like, Kanye's basically like, yo, I need y'all's help. Like, this is like a cry to the community. Like, yo, y'all supposed to have my back. Like, we're supposed to be a family. This is supposed to be, like, you guys should be supporting me in this journey. And all I'm getting is, well, we'll see, or I don't believe it, or this is a money grab, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And God is just like, yo, like I just need y'all to pray for me. You know, there's a good chance that the majority of you guys are not going to get into my space because y'all don't know me like that. But like your prayers will do plenty. Like, I love this record, man. I love this record. Love this record. Top, because it's so it's just so authentic, man. So authentic. Now I got to listen to it again with all this sicko mode information because that's hilarious. But I love this record, man. Love it. Fourth favorite song on the album.
So you think this is better than Use This Gospel?
I'm going to tell you my problem with Use This Gospel.
Okay, Use This Gospel, produced by, let's see who we got here. We got a lot of credits. We got Kanye. We got somebody named Dirtwork. We got Timbo, his people, Pierre Bourne, Boogs the Beast. What's your problem with Use This Gospel?
I hate how offbeat the Clips verses are.
Yeah, they're a little...
It bothers me so... Yeah, they're just like... You could fix it if you nudged them. Like if that's how they wrapped it, they're offbeat just enough to where if you nudged them right, they would have been fine.
Yeah. So this song, formerly Law of Attraction, and Law of Attraction has drums underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I almost wonder, like, did they rap to it with the drums and they took the drums off and something's not right? Or did they rap to it without the drums? I'd be curious to know how the song got made.
They could did that. Yeah.
Ramon's like, Doc, could you just fix this for me?
Say, I know you. you got a drum kit somewhere.
I have the drums. I have the Law of Attraction stems.
Oh, that's right, you do.
I could literally put the drums on.
That's right, you do. I told you need to remix Yandi.
People are already doing it. I don't need to do it.
Are they really?
Oh God, man. There are a couple different subreddits that are alive with people making combo versions of Use This Gospel and Law of Attraction. And oh yeah, it's wild.
Wow.
We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
We're still going to, oh man, this is going to be a long.
I told you we're going to be here for a while.
I might have to get up and stretch when we're done with this.
That's fine. So do I. My chair is, I need a better chair for my desk.
The main melody to Use This Gospel is so freaking catchy.
Yep. It's fire.
That car door being open sound effect even works pretty good too. Like, I think the hook's pretty good, and that, like, I'm not trying to damn with faint praise. Like, this is an example where he had a hook tied to a certain melody before he decided that he was gonna re-record and devote this album to spreading the word, you know, spreading the gospel. Like, and it's difficult to do that. Right. To say, here's a hook I was happy with. Now I need to rewrite it to be something totally different, but keep that same melody. I think he did pretty good.
I agree.
Push's verse is fine.
I agree.
The first half of Malice's verse is pretty good.
I like Malice's
verse. Caught with the Trunk of Barry Manilow's. Like, I like that.
Oh, and then My Arrogance Took a Camera Pose. What?
Right.
That's hard.
Now, the last four lines, the wheels come off completely. Okay, from the concrete grew a rose. They gave you wraith talk. I give you faith talk. Oh
yeah, that is corny. Yeah, that is corny. That is corny.
Watch
is
me corny. Faith walk. Oh, God.
Yeah, I did like. I mean, I did like the part when he said, "Hold on to your brother when his faith."
Yeah, that's good.
He hugged, push.
Yeah, I know.
That was my. Like, come on, man. Like we watched. We just watched the clips perform, man.
So. What does Push's relationship to good music look like going forward?
Bruh, like I have to know how he's processing your mentor and your brother both have these very real authentic encounters with God. What does that do for you?
But also,
I'm dying to know.
But also, like, you know, in his verse, He tries to stay true to Pusha, It's a very un-Pusha-like verse.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if Kanye is truly, like, dedicating his life to this, like, good music is still him. I know Pusha's in charge.
Yeah.
But, like, I assume Kanye could yank that if they ever had a falling out or something. So, like, does good music continue to put out gospel music?
Right. Well, yeah, go ahead.
How does that work?
I agree. Well, okay. Oh, okay. I'll ask you a question.
Yeah.
Immediately what I thought about was, well, why don't you guys put out designer's music or release them?
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that. Like, yo, okay. So, you know, if you want to do right by people, like, let the guy go. Like, he clearly doesn't want to be there. Y'all killed his buzz. It's a wrap. Like, let him go. You know, okay, so let me ask you a question. So I guess what is the difference between asking if Kanye is going to continue to do good music and then, like, me doing this podcast?
It's a good question. I think there's a difference between... Okay, let me be clear. I'm not trying to say that that good music can't do, has to do. I'm not saying that that it has to be secular.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a difference between music that's secular and Pusha T.
Secular simply means like the absence of God.
Right.
You know, that applies to anything. So
Pusha T.
Just for people.
Glorifies a lot. 100%. A lot. Go listen to the album that Kanye produced for him last year.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
Yeah.
So, like, if Pusha T makes a traditional Pusha T style record next year, will Kanye produce on it? If he's gonna be in the studio with Pusha when Pusha is rapping about what he raps about?
Yeah.
There's no right or wrong answer. I'm not trying to say that, like, oh, you know, Kanye's religion's ruining anything. No, I think these have got to be challenging questions for him.
Yeah. I think Kanye said something, because I think Zayn asked him that question, like, yo, you know, what about your relationships with people who are not on the same path as you? And Kanye was like, hey, they're all still here. You know, Consequence is the one who tweeted and said, hey, I approved all the mixes. You know, we uploaded them to streaming services at 4 a.m. Like you said, Sahi wrote on records, like, so Mike Dean mixed it, and Mike Dean was like, yo, he was like, I was smoking while I was mixing these records.
He did it from home.
Yeah, he did it from home. Yeah, he's like,
so but that's interesting, right? Because
yeah.
So, like, here's my question. So, like, are they in the studio together often now in the future? Like, there are a lot of interesting questions.
Right. Those things get worked out in real time, man.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things that, like, you don't know what it's going to look like until you get it out there. There might come points where, like, Kanye deals in extremes and he might say, I don't want anybody in the studio who's not on this wave. And then after a while you say, you figure out a balance. You start letting other stuff in. And he even said that on the Zane Lowe interview. He's like, well, nobody even prior to nobody in my sessions were doing hard drugs. So I don't know. These are great questions, and these are great things that I would like to see fleshed out in real time.
Yeah, and you know what we haven't even talked about yet? The Kenny G solo.
Listen.
Okay.
You got people who are really mad at this solo because it's Kenny G. Kenny G for a season was kind of like the antithesis, so he was like public enemy number one for black people because this is the beginning of like smooth jazz. So it was Kenny G and Dave Koz. And like, because they were not Miles Davis and not Coltrane, that it was gentrified jazz. But listen, if you are black and you are listening to this podcast and you have an uncle that is over 40 years old, they listen to smooth jazz. So Kenny G always has country. And also, to your point, Doc, his curls are still immaculate.
My man still has the same haircut. It's incredible.
It's incredible.
The commitment. the commitment. Kenneth G.
Ken, yo, we need to find this out. Hold up. What does the G stand for?
Gorlick.
Like
I'm not looking at his wiki page right now.
Oh, man. I wish it was better. Gorlick's not funny.
Kenny G is 63.
63, dog. That's crazy.
Wow.
And he doesn't look a day over 50. Looks good. That picture of him with the clips after Sunday service is amazing. It is amazing. Now, I wonder, is he going to like incorporate this into his shows?
Do the solo?
Yeah. I'm just looking at his tour dates. Bro, he is on the road. My God. This dude is in a different city every night from November 14th through March.
Yeah, you want to go see Kenny G?
He just took Christmas week off.
You know, he took a couple bars off.
Yeah, take a couple. Let's see. But he's like Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Oh, yeah.
Des Moines, Iowa.
He's got to go everywhere.
Yeah. Naples, Florida. He's in Florida for a whole week. He's in Naples, Fort Lauderdale, Clearwater, Melbourne.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
Billings, Montana. Montana.
He's not taking any time off Christmas. A little bit. No, he spends like the whole week out in Napa.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
New Year's Eve with Kenny G. Yo, listen. If you want to get on Marissa's good side, if you want to stay there.
It's not happening.
I would say he probably has a property in Napa.
I'm sure.
Yeah. He's like, I'll just perform at home. Look at these off-brand cities, Biloxi, Mississippi, Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Oh, no, listen, if you're off-brand cities.
Listen, I live in Columbus, Ohio. I lived before here. I lived in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and I lived in Spokane, Washington. Like, they know it. Like, Doc, they know what it is.
Off-brand cities is the most Avon Barksdale thing you've ever said on this show.
I cannot wait to put my girl onto the wire. I cannot wait. She has not seen it, and I'm excited.
God, you're gonna be insufferable.
I'm gonna be terrible. Oh my God, I'm gonna be terrible.
The Kenny G solo is great.
It's amazing.
It's great. This song is imperfect, but it's dope.
It's very dope.
All right. And then we end with Jesus is Lord. In the IMAX film, it's credited as Every Knee Shall Bow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's longer.
Okay, they changed it. Okay.
Yeah, you like, I didn't get my phone out and grab a picture of the credits when they had that up on screen.
I thought about taking pictures of the credits.
I was like, whoop. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, every knee. I'm looking at it right now. Every knee shall bow.
Yeah.
It's so funny that they use this gospel, even gets some. Oh, so here's a clue. Interesting. Use this gospel because I should say this when we talk about the movie. But I was going to say, the clips verse on that must have been last minute.
Yeah, I can see that.
They're not listed in the writing credits on Use This Gospel. For the movie. Like they say who wrote on it because he sings a couple bars of it and their credits aren't there, but they should be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they should be. Absolutely.
Because like for Ultra Light Beam, when the choir sings it, like they give anybody who ever did anything on Ultra Light Beam, and there's like a long list, they get a credit even if the choir sings. You know what I mean? So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how, mm-hmm. I mean, so clearly between when the movie was finalized and when the album came out, they clearly changed stuff. But Jesus is Lord, I think this is pretty dope as an ending note to the album.
Mm-hmm.
It should be longer. It should be the version from the IMAX movie,
mm-hmm.
which plays during the credits and sounds great. But yeah, I'm a fan of this. It works totally fine.
Word. Yeah, I agree. I appreciate it being short on the album. I'm not mad at it because there's the IMAX version and the live version clearly are longer.
Yeah.
So it's like gospel songs have like a reprise, which is after the song is 4 or 5 minutes. They do a reprise where they strip it down, they build it back up, and it's like another 12 minutes. Those are usually the best versions of the song. Like sometimes you skip straight to the reprise because the reprise is
right.
amazing.
Right.
So yeah, I love how this ends. I love how this ends the album. Hey, are we going to talk about the different versions with Kim's track lists and stuff, or are we saving that for Yandhi?
We can say that for Yandhi because
okay,
we've been recording for a very long time.
Yes, we have.
All right. So overall, where are you at with this album?
Man, hot take.
Okay.
This is...
Uh-oh.
I say it because it's my platform.
I don't care.
This is going to go down in history as the most polarizing and important album of his career.
Important?
Important. Yeah. Of course it's not the best.
No.
It's not the best.
It's way too early to even talk about that.
But his sharp... we talked about this. Kanye is a master at making sharp left turns before each album. I love that that illustration that someone drew of him being the different bears.
Yeah.
The evolution from the College Dropout to now. Like, I thought that was super fire. I wish I could find that picture. I should have saved it. It's a great picture. But this turn is different. It's different. And I'm dying to know. I said this last couple episodes. Dying to know what Jesus is King 2 sounds like. I'm dying to know what happens. Does he fall back from the faith? Does he get lax? Does he kind of get like sort of, you know, is he not as stringent as he is in another year or two? Does he figure it out? Does he go the complete opposite and get like back into a Yandhi bag that's like really a grit? Like, where does he go from here? And I think, excuse me. And that's why I say it's so important because, you know, the sharpest left turn you could probably say was 808s. And even from that, he could always get back into a certain bag that he had already sort of created space for. But with this, it's like, man, where do you go from here? I have no idea. But I'm happy for him. I'm excited for him. It felt really good to just hear somebody be like happy that something good happened to them and they just wanted to share it. But then like the excellence that Kanye creates in, just like the excellent chaos that he's sort of created for himself. I enjoyed watching this. And is this the Kanye album that I connected with the most? Like just personally, maybe I really appreciate this album. I appreciate it. I love Graduation. Dark Twisted Fantasy is fire. College Dropout is fire. I love Pablo. I'm one of the few people on that train. I love Pablo, but like, this is different, man. And I'm just like, right now I could go hypotheticals, but right now I'm just super happy for him and I'm dying to know what's next, but right now I'm happy for him and I really enjoy this album.
I've listened to way too much Kanye over the past week, so I need some space so I can think about where I want to be with this album. I think there are, I think it kind of dips a bit at points for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not as big on Hands On as you are. So like the God is Hands On combo, I'm like, all right. But like, this is so much better than Ye.
Mm-hmm.
So much better than Ye. So like that alone is good to see for me. It'd be interesting to see how I feel about this album in like 2 weeks, 4 weeks. I want to see what the replay value is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I am... I guess I'm... like compared to what my expectations were, I think I'm feeling good about this.
Okay.
Because when I think about like, you know, Ye was not very good. And then you hear like, oh, this is what Water sounds like at Sunday service. And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
You know? So do you think he should have had like a traditional lead single for an album like this? Or do you think it worked the way that it did?
No, it works the way that it does. Yeah. It's a whole experience. And Kanye is one of those people where like, even when he was putting out singles, like it was just weird to like, yeah, Kanye Ecstasy. Like what? Like, why are you putting out a song? Is something coming?
Right.
Like he's one of the quote unquote old school artists where like full bodies of work. I need full bodies of work. That is the culture that you've created for yourself musically. Like I need full bodies of work. So nah, I don't need a song. I've heard that certain songs have been played on the radio. I heard some, I don't know if it was true or not, but somebody tweeted me and said that they worked Water into like a the Rush Hour 5 p.m. mix on a radio station. I'm dying to know how that worked, if it did.
Follow God has an official lyric video. So
okay,
I would guess that they're going to try to push that.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you for an artist like that, you got to get on radio, right? Like somehow.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to go number one first week.
Yeah. Is he still at 250, 275?
I think he's still in that range, yeah.
Okay. Man, good for him.
Yeah. So real quick, let's talk about the IMAX movie.
Okay.
The album really met my expectations. And maybe even exceeded them, really.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say the same about the movie.
Okay.
I mean, I knew it was going to be short. So unlike some people in that theater, like some people in the theater I was in, they were like, wait, what?
Yeah.
They were stunned by the fact that it was like 35 minutes long.
Yeah.
I didn't really know, I guess, what I was expecting when I saw the movie. It felt, this kind of sounds derogatory, it felt like a really expensive like art project. Like there was no story.
Yeah.
It was really just like it had, I mean, I was in my head, I was comparing it to what he did for Dark Twisted Fantasy, right? where he had like what was essentially like an extended music video with a story that tries to like tie it all together. You've seen that now, right? Finally?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But this doesn't even really have that. You know, it's like, here's some nature scenes. Here's like the choir and Kanye together doing stuff. I think that him doing Streetlights from 808s was like really nice. I thought that was great. I thought there was some visually interesting things for sure. But like, I walked away from that going like, what did I just watch?
Mm-mm.
How did you feel?
I think the best thing for me was hearing the album first.
Yeah, I saw this Thursday night at 7 o'clock.
Yep. And everybody I know who's seen it saw it Thursday.
Yeah.
Now, I feel like had I seen it Thursday before the album came out, I would have shared some of your sentiments.
Mm.
But I watched this after playing the album all weekend and also after watching the Sunday service at the Forum. So I was all in.
Yeah, you were prepped.
I was prepped. So I thought it was a good piece to go along with the album. There's one song in particular that I'm hoping is on Jesus Is Born that the choir does that I was kind of hoping that like maybe they would do some of the new stuff as opposed to just, you know, traditional old school choir songs or whatever. But like I loved how visual it was. That was actually my first time in an IMAX theater. So like seeing how big the screen was, like, oh, this screen goes all the way to the floor. Yeah, man. I thought it was really good. I enjoyed myself. I loved it ending with him singing Streetlights and the way that it was shot, where it's just like the silhouette. Oh my God. So good. So good. So good. So good. So I was happy with it. I wasn't blown away, though I really did appreciate the one shot of the choir director, like under him with the skyline. I thought that was amazing. I appreciated the one. I wish it would have been longer, where like the one part where the choir was singing and clearly like something happened and people had this really emotionally in this emotionally charged experience at the end. Everybody's crying and hugging, and like I would have loved to have seen that build up. That would have been really dope. But I enjoyed it. But I think I enjoyed it more because I sat with the album the whole weekend. Had I watched it prior to here now, I probably would have been like, but I get it now. I'm totally understanding the Jesus is King ecosystem, which is why I bought the vinyl. I found some merch. Like, I'm like, okay, I feel like this is going to be really, really important. And I've missed out on 444 vinyl. And, you know, I go back and I see like Dark Twisted Fantasy vinyls, like $50 and stuff like that. Like, all right, I need to catch this stuff when it's new, because I feel like in 6 months, I'm going to want it and it's going to be too expensive, more than what I'm willing to spend. So,
how did you feel about them remaking Say You Will?
I didn't really feel anyway. Like, I didn't hate it and I didn't love it either.
Hmm.
But I think that's where we're going, Doc.
Man, I don't know.
If he sees this out, yeah. I think if he sees this out, like, we're going to get Gold Digger.
I got to say. So, actually, let's wrap up with this. We haven't really talked. We talked a little bit about the idea of a tour.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do a tour.
Mm-hmm.
Are you thinking you'd want to see it?
100%. I'm there.
I'm there.
Good seats, too.
I'm torn.
Sure.
I'm a little torn.
Sure.
I want some of the stuff live would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious as to how fleshed out like the set list. Like we're gonna get a lot of Say You Wills and Fade as Faith, and I don't know, man.
Maybe.
Like, I mean, we didn't even talk about the fact that he would appear to be, those are all new lyrics for Saint Pablo, right?
No.
They weren't?
No, not his verse. His verse was the same.
Interesting. Why was he reading? He doesn't know the lyric. I guess he doesn't know the lyric to St. Pablo.
I mean, I feel like they did St. Pablo and they're like, yeah, just put it out.
Right.
He's okay. I believe, from what I understand, that was his first time performing that record.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So maybe that's not a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess I'll be, it's one of those things where it's like, if I knew, like, by the time the set list comes out, it'll be impossible to get tickets. So you're just going to have to decide, am I in on this or not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, man. Anything else you want to say about Jesus is King?
Well, I feel, I'll say.
Oh,
I,
did we forget something?
I feel like, no. I don't feel like the tour is going to sell out. I feel like if you want to get tickets, I feel like I feel like enough people don't like him. I feel like enough people don't like him to where it's not going to be like, I need to get this first day. Maybe like the good seats, but you'll be able to get some nosebleeds.
I wonder, yeah, I guess he'll still do them in the same size arenas. I don't know how, yeah, basically to see how, because I mean, the Forum is big, but it's not that big.
Yeah, and I heard it was, I guess I'm Facebook friends with some people who went, and they said it was packed until the pastor came up and preached. He said everybody left.
Well, so take that back. So, I mean, the Forum, the capacity there is 17,500. So it's arena size for sure.
It's arena size, yeah. I mean, that's what the Lakers play. It's Showtime, right?
Yeah, it's where they used to play, yeah. So, yeah, I guess, yeah, maybe I'm trying to, yeah, if he brings that pastor around, I don't know.
He might.
Interesting.
He might.
Interesting.
Yeah. Lots and lots of hypotheticals, but
oh, for sure, we have a lot to learn in the coming weeks and months.
Oh boy, absolutely.
All right, man. Anything else you want to say about this?
No.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. I have no idea how many sizes this is going to be. We're going to figure that out. Thank you, as always, for listening. I don't know when we'll be back for Clock Radio Speakers. We're still trying to get some scheduling things figured out, but we will be back relatively soon. Armand, you got anything you want to plug?
Yeah, new music tomorrow. Well, actually, new music today from Snooze Button 5. Snooze Button 5 available November 14th.
Hey, we got a date.
Yeah, we got a date. November 14th. I'm actually putting out a monthly schedule that should be out in the next couple days. I got a lot going on in November. Also, if you're in the Ohio area and you want to discuss Jesus is King and some of the intangibles and, you know, lots of other things that Doc and I maybe didn't get to, We are creating a space to do that. That is November 23rd. That is at the Shepherd location of the Columbus Library, and tickets are pretty much about 85% gobbled up. So either we're going to have to find another venue or you're just going to miss out. If you are not in the Columbus area and you do want to participate, we will be streaming online. I've already got, I'm already working with somebody to make that happen and to monitor the chat and all that good stuff. So yeah, lots and lots of good things coming up in November, but new music tomorrow from myself, Taylor and Cambino. We're rapping over Tyler Smuckers. That'll be available everywhere, except for streaming services. And then Snooze Button 5, November 14th.
All right.